KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, everyone up and down the Kuskokwim River. My name is Petra Harpuck. The proposed Donlin mine may be grabbing the headlines, but mining is not new to the region. We are taking a step into the past with Joseph Venus Jr. to visit Nyack, an old gold mine community on the Kuskokwim River. Joseph Venus Jr., now a Bethel elder, grew up in Nyack, a place you can't find on maps unless you know where you are going.
I go by Sonny. My parents were the late Helen Simon Venus from White Mountain, and my dad was Joseph Venus from Akiak, Old Akiak.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Nyack, Alaska.
And what was the population up there?
Well, the population varied. In this winter time, there might have been 30 people there, which was four families, basically. In the summertime, when they had all three dredges running, there might have been 110, but that's max. When they got going with the mine, after the ground thawed out, they flew in the people to get the dredges started, and which consisted of filling three bunkhouses and some private homes that they had shut down in the winter, like for the nurses or the bosses, which added to the big population of, I would say, 110 or less. That's my estimate. Other people may have different variations.
So if you don't mind me asking you, Sonny, how old are you?
I'm 71.
At what age did you start learning about mining?
I remember 1952, when I was 5 years old. That's when my memory really starts, because we lived across the creek from Willie Shangy and Pauline Shangy's house. And there was only my mom and dad, older sister Bunny, myself, Tommy, Donald, and Louise, of my eight siblings.
What's the creek called?
The name of the mining camp is Nyack, New York Alaska Gold Dredging Corporation. The houses were built up a little valley. The name of the creek was Shovel Creek, which ran into the Tulixac River, which runs into the Kuskokwim River at the village of Tulixac.
And who taught you how to mine? Who was your mentor at that time?
Well, basically my dad. He did everything up in Nyack. I really didn't do any actual mining. I just worked in the mine. When we were old enough to fill the wood box and help around the house, we had to do that because we all had wood stoves and wash dishes twice a week when we got older. And then Dad cut cordwood in the winter for the mining camp. And when I was old enough, I started helping him cut cordwood on weekends, which was basically the 7th and 8th grade in 59, 60, 61. And then out of 8th grade, I was 14, I went to work in Nyack as a laborer, roustabout, I guess they call them. Myself, Joe Cheney, and Jerry Race, three of us started work that summer, 1961. And we did lots of help on the dredges. We did lots of help anywhere they needed us in camp, unload all kinds of work. But I never did operate machinery up there. Only drove, once in a while, get to drive the truck, the big trucks. The flatbed truck they had, and that was it.
Did you ever get to work underground?
Never did work underground. It was all above ground.
What was it like? How was your emotions when you were working at the mine?
It was great. We had good fresh air every day. Summer of 1961, out of 8th grade, there was too many kids around my mom and dad's house. All my eight siblings are younger than me, except my older sister, Bunny, who is deceased by now, sorry to say. We lost her in January. 1961, my dad made arrangements for me. I was working 8 hours a day. We worked 6 or 7 days a week, all summer, 3 months. Then I went to Mount Edgecombe, but it was all labor work. My dad made arrangement for me to stay in the bunkhouse. I had a good friend of his, had an extra bunk in his bunkhouse. His name was Leonard Wang, and I slept in the men's bunkhouse all summer. I could get more rest at the bunkhouse than I could at my house, about a quarter mile up the valley, because there was too many kids around playing till all night, you know, sometimes. Summertime.
Yeah.
And then I got up at 7 in the morning, had breakfast with the men, 3 squares a day in the mess hall. We started work at 8 and ended at 5 with an hour off for lunch. It was all outdoor work and a variety of work.
Can you describe to me what the mining process is in Nyack? How was the mining process up there?
Well, the mining was done by gold dredges. They're huge machines that had to float on water, and they had bucket lines that dug into the earth after them. What they did was plan where the dredges were going to do the dredging, and if there was lots of timber, spruce trees, which there was, and birch trees, the boss had woodcutters cut the wood down in the winter time into cordwood, and they used it in the boilers there at the bunkhouses in the early days at the mess hall for cooking, and all the homes were virtually heated by wood at Nyack, so that did not go to waste. And then the catskinners went in there with the dozers, dozed off the overburden, and then the dredges would come behind where they dozed off the overburden and dig up the rock and dig for the gold and clean all the rocks off and end into a tailing pile, nice clean shiny rocks, and the gold would all settle in the, what they call sluice boxes at the lower end of the tumbler where the fine rocks and sand and gold fell through to the bottom, and then they'd have to clean up and melt the gold down into gold bricks and ship them out to Fort Knox or wherever they shipped them in those days.
Did you ever get to clean the sluice box?
No. They had specialized men for that. You had to be small. You had to wear a raincoat. You had to have strong hands. You had to have, you could get in there virtually under the other overhanging machinery on your knees wearing raincoats, and you take out all the grates, and then you have a little shovel dustpan and shovel it in containing ore that's left behind into the bucket, and they'd be passed up to the proper people and brought to camp, and they had their own smelter there to make the gold bricks.
What was your first thought when you first saw a gold brick?
Those days, there was no hoopla about it. You know, no, gold was gold. We were kids. We didn't know the value of it. It was only $35 an ounce in those days. Now it's around $1,221 to $1,300 an ounce, but it was no big deal.
You're listening to Joseph Venus Jr. talking about Nyack, a gold mine operated by New York Alaska Gold Dredging Company on the Kuskokwim River. This is Coffee at KYUK on KYUK. I'm Petra Harpuk. Times were different in the 60s. At 14, Joseph Venus Jr. was already working at the mine.
That summer 1961, I made, I think, $1.87 an hour or less. And I went to Mount Edgecombe, and I saved up almost $900. And my mom opened a bank account for me at Seattle First National Bank. That money lasted me all winter at the Mount Edgecombe boarding school.
She cared for you.
Yeah, it was good work, physical. I even stocked shelves in the store. They paid me 50 cents an hour doing that in 1957 or 58. And then I helped the school teacher in my seventh grade, helped him do inventory in territorial school in those days. They paid me 50 cents an hour doing that too, which was, well, a candy bar was a nickel and a bottle of pop for 15 cents.
They had a school up there.
At first it was territorial, and then when we became a state in 1959, the state took over.
And how was it like when the state took over Nyack?
Well, it didn't last long. My family moved out. It just basically kept the same. I didn't notice any difference because they all supplied us with big eraser and big fat pencils and all the tablets we needed, you know. Books were all supplied. We didn't have to buy anything. It was all supplied by territory and then the state. And then when my family moved out in 1962, they had to shut down the school because five kids that were going to go to school that year moved to Bethel, so they shut down the school. There was not enough kids to keep it open.
You said there was a store up in Nyack. What was the store called, and how big or how small was that building?
The store was, it was just a small store, a company store. It was not private. Well, it was private, owned by Nyack Mining. They had the basics in their groceries, candy bars, soda pops, everything you find in the store. They even had winter clothes, and they always got stuff that was hard to find. I mean, you could used to be able to buy a good pair of wool and long underwear and good gloves and work clothes there at the store, because it was basically for the people that worked in the mine and stayed there all winter.
So it was a thriving small community of about 100 to 200 people.
No, less than 200.
Less than 200.
I may be lucky to get 100.
So do you have any photos of Nyack?
Yeah, we have. I have some at home, and my sisters have some, and you know, they're all cherished pictures.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me more about the mining stuff in Nyack?
Oh, I know it was a good, clean operation, far as I could remember. There was no large amount of pollutants or anything. I know that the dredges caused the Tulixac River to be muddy, you know, but the salmon and fish used to still go up there strong. When we left there in my last summer there was 1961, and I went up a few times later for reunions and stuff, and the fish was still going up there strong. It was a good, clean operation.
If I wanted to go to Nyack today, 2018, how can I get there?
Well, it's listed on it now. You've got to have permission, and you just can't go there. It's a privately owned still by Shalista. They wouldn't even let me file for native land claims close to their any family, because they filed land claims came into effect. They did their filing for the land that wasn't filed properly, and they got it, which was a bummer. Well, Nyack is no longer, I would still call Nyack, but but it's no longer a gold mine. I mean, run by New York Alaska Gold Dredging Corporation is what NYAC stood for. It was privately owned, and those people are long time gone now that don't used to own it.
You would live in Nyack all year round?
Yes.
And how was it like during the winter time? Would there still be dredging going on?
No, they shut down after freeze up. The dredging season, a crew started arriving the last week of March, first part of April, and then they'd sometimes work into the first week of December, and by that time it's too much ice is forming and too much snow and everything freezes up. The dredges have to have water to operate, and they'd drain the dredge pond or sometimes leave it full and lift the bucket line up and shut everything down, and so they could reopen come the next following spring.
You told me you started off as a laborer. Did you work yourself up to be a foreman?
No, I just worked there 1 year, because my family moved to Bethel, and I didn't go back to Nyack to go to work. Hindsight is 100%. I wish I could have went back to Nyack and worked, but I didn't. But they didn't last much longer after my dad moved out. He saw them eventually closing up, and eventually they did close, and then another private people took over and did more mining on a smaller scale, of course.
So tell me, what kind of emotions was going on inside of you when you first heard that it was closing?
Well, it was a letdown. Nyack's a beautiful, hilly, mountainous region. And growing up there was always something to do. And then moving down to Bethel, of course, you had to make new friends. It's all flat country, and you need a boat. Those days, there was no snow machines either. We had to have our water hauled in down here. And of course, the honey buckets in those days. At Nyack, we had flush toilets and running water all the time I lived up there. Fresh, good fresh mountain spring running water right into your kitchen sink into the bathroom.
Nice, so lucky.
We're going to learn more about life up the Kuskokwim in the old gold mining community of Nyack. Josephinus Jr., who is now 71 and grew up in Nyack, told us about working in the mine and learning from his father. He continues the story about life in the tiny community. So much has changed since he was a child, but some things remain the same. Then, like now, families put subsistence food on the table.
What kind of subsistence food did you guys live off of?
Oh, Dad got moose every fall, usually, and we were old enough to. When I was old enough to start hunting, I got a shotgun when I was 7 years old. Started hunting ptarmigan and spruce hen and rabbits, snared rabbits. And summertime, we ate lots of grayling. It was really good grayling fishing. We'd go fishing virtually every day when we were young on good days and bring home the catch. And Ma would have eventually You have to clean the grayling and eat them the next day. Same with ptarmigan and rabbits. When you got them, you usually ate them a day or two later. And of course, the moose Dad got every fall would last us the winter.
So your shotgun, was it a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge, 16-gauge?
410.
Oh, 410.
Both action 410. Still have it.
Would your mom prepare dry fish for the winter?
No, we didn't have. We didn't get no salmon up there. There was lots of berry picking too. Blueberry picking and high bush cranberry and low bush redberry on the hills and blackberries. But mostly blueberries. A few salmon berries, but not like down here.
Did she used to make you guys a gudok?
Yes, she did occasionally. But she made lots of jarred jam. Homemade blueberry jam, maybe 4 cases. And they'd go in our cellar. Everybody had cellars up there. And she baked bread for a big family, usually 6 loaves of bread at least once a week in the old wood stove oven, and it was good homemade bread along with the blueberries jam, the cranberry jam or redberry jam, blackberry, well, not too much blackberry jam. But
which berry is your favorite?
Salmon berries now, but blueberries are, they're all good. Salmon berries and blueberries I like a lot.
As a child growing up in Nyack, who was your best friend there?
My best friend was Joe Cheney. Sorry to say we lost him last year ago in February of 2017. My other best friend was Jerry Race. 3 of us worked together. We went to Boy Scouting together in Nyack. Jerry Race is still alive. He's a pharmacist. And, he lives in Juneau, Alaska. And he also has a home in Mesa, Arizona.
Do you guys talk about growing up in Nyack, you and Jerry?
Yes, we do.
Are they good memories?
Oh, yeah, they're all good memories.
Could you tell me a memorable moment where you and him were out there in Nyack enjoying your time together?
Yeah, in 1959 or 1960. I think it was might have been 1958 or 59. They moved number 4 dredge from North of Rock Creek, California Creek, up to Bear Creek, and one of the winchmen operates the dredge wanted to climb Mount Plummer. It's a landmark not far from Nyack, pointed mountain, one of the highest peaks up there in the Kilbuck Range. So he asked our parents, Bill Race and Maxine, were Jerry's dad, and my dad and mom, we two of us could go climb Mount Plummer with him, and we climbed Mount Plummer. We didn't carry no guns, only sticks, and there was bears around. those days we weren't scared. Nowadays it seems like the bear wants to get everybody.
Did you encounter a bear?
We encountered bears, but we were taught never to run from them. Lots of black bears, because if you run from a bear, they'll chase you and catch you and probably bite you.
Yeah. What was the reason why you guys climbed Mount Plummer?
Just for something to do.
Is there anything else you want to include for Nyack mining, how the living was up there?
Oh, it was a great experience. In the wintertime, us kids used to watch the men move the dredges or work on them and start preparing them for the next year. And then usually after the first of the year, my dad would have a contract to cut cordwood. One winter, he cut 300 cords of wood with Elias Laffey from Kuitluk and Peter Rowland from Akiak, where they were going to move number 4 dredge. And on weekends, us kids used to go to wood camp and get to camp out in the woods with them. Usually Friday night, come back to Nyack after dark on Sunday. And every year, my dad had contracts. After that, he would start his 100-cord contract or 50-cord contract by himself too. And then when I was old enough, me and Tom, my brother Tommy and Donald, and my good friend Joe Cheney would go camp at my dad's wood camp, take our 22s or 410s or 20 gauges and shoot ptarmigan and rabbits, and usually help him half a day and cut cordwood. That last year I was there, I used to help Dad all day. I was 13 then, and he had the contract alone to cut 50 cords, and he did in 23 days, and I was old enough to help him, and it was good experience. He always had sourdough hotcakes in the morning and good hot food at lunch, and then after dark, it'd get dark early, 5 o'clock in the evening, and he'd usually cook a good dinner before going to bed. no TVs, no telephones, no cell phones, no vehicles, no snow machines. By that time, my dad had got rid of his dog team in 1956, and he didn't even have a dog team then. But he used company vehicles to his wood camp and back, and then walk sometimes a mile or half a mile to the final place where he would be cutting cordwood. And at the territorial school in the state school, like I said, 1959, it was a one-room schoolhouse. First through eighth grade, there was at the most, I think, one year, I forget which year it was, there was might have been 18 students. That lasted until school would start day after Labor Day, which was in September, until then a lot of the people from out of state that came to NIAC to work usually brought their kids. And I think at one point there was maybe 18 students at the NIAC school. And then after the camp would shut down, even the races would leave. And then there would only leave about 12 or 14 students for the rest of the year.
You're listening to Joseph Venus Jr. talking on KYAK about what it was like to live in the old mining community of NIAC on the Upper Kuskokwim. He and his brothers and sisters, along with the children from a couple of other families who spent the winter there, attended NIAC's one-room schoolhouse.
It was a one-school teacher for all first through eighth grades. And they assigned us chores to do. At the end of the day, we had to empty the pencil sharpeners, they were manual, into the waste baskets. And then there were no trash bags in those days either. And then clean the blackboard and take the erasers from the blackboard, take them outdoors and beat them together, get all that white chalk off of them. And usually and sweep the floor. And usually on Friday, we'd have to mop the floor. And it was all, nobody complained. We all did the work. There was no janitors or teacher helpers in those days. I had three teachers. My first teacher was, Miss Scudder, my first grade teacher. And she was very strict. And then she slapped the back of your hands with a ruler if you did something wrong. And then my next teacher was Miss Elaine Fisher. She was my second through fifth grade teacher. They were all very competent teachers. My next teacher was Mr. Ball. He was from Florida, J.W. Ball, sixth and seventh grade. And then my last teacher was Mr. Rudy Firm. He was my eighth grade teacher. And me and Joe Cheney was the only eighth grade graduates in 1961. And then we went to work at the mine after Jerry Race came up from South 48. We all had chores to do at the school, which I thought really helped young folks in those days. And I think that should happen more often than, I mean, nowadays they call it child labor, but it wasn't child labor. It was, it had to be done, and nobody got hurt. Nobody refused to do it. It was all done in good graces. Then we, as we got older, us older boys would. The school had a big boiler underneath in the basement. We'd shoot down the wood chute. There were 2 foot. There were 4 foot logs of wood, but he had a boiler down there that burned 2 foot logs, so they cut them in half and threw them down the wood chute and usually stack them down there by the boiler. And us older boys would help the teacher do that, which was a good exercise, something to do.
Yeah. So what was it like when you transitioned from NIAC to Bethel? What kind of emotions was going through your mom and dad's minds and you and your sisters and your brothers?
Well, we just had to adjust to a bigger bigger place with more people, and we thought nothing of it. We just adjusted to it, and the Ma had to go to work, and Dad had a job already when he moved down, and we all had to go to work. I had to go to work that first summer for Gene Snow and Transportation Company, or Kuskokwim Packing Company for Howard Elliott, Uncle Butch LaRue, worked for lots of people. Transitioning was, we thought nothing of it, it just was something that had to be done.
One last question. Who are you related to here in Bethel and on the Kuskokwim River?
Uncle Elias Venus, he's still alive. He's the last one left on both sides of my family, my mom and dad. He worked in Nyack for some number of years too, and he has great stories about Nyack. One thing I didn't mention was three of my eight siblings were born in Nyack. My brother Tommy was born May 9th, 1948. I don't remember his birth because I was 1 year old and 1 month or so. But my sister Louise, she was born 1951, I think. Pauline Changi was midwife. It was January 19th. Delivered her. They lived right across the creek from us. She helped a lot with Ma when Ma had Louise. She delivered her, Pauline did. And then my sister Marion Hoffman was born there August 30th, 1954, I think. And the nurse was, company nurse was up there then. Her name was Irene Coe. And Ma had the baby right one house above our house. Spent one day in the little room there where May was born, and then carried her home a day or two, a day after she was, maybe 2 days at the most, but I think it was only one day. In those days, they didn't stay long after babies were born.
So Elias Venus is your only living uncle?
Yes, related to the Gwynns also. Nora Gwynn was my dad's older sister.
And the courthouse is named after her.
Yeah. I want to let people know that I hope I didn't offend anybody. This was to the best of my knowledge. Thank you.
Well, it was nice meeting you, Sonny.
Yes.
Thank you for talking to me about Nyack and growing up in Nyack and mining.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. I still miss Nyack. Me and my late friend Joe Cheney, we'd go there in a heartbeat. Jerry Race also. We all cherished our Boy Scouting and growing up together in Nyack, and our first jobs together and having lots of fun. It was good camaraderie. Bill Race was a great boss. And my friend Joe, he was Jerry's dad. Wife was a storekeeper, Maxine. Willie Shangy was my dad's good buddy, Joe Cheney's dad. Pauline was a good friend of ours. And those days were long gone, but not forgotten.
That's Joseph Venus Jr. talking on KYUK about his days in Nyack, a mining community on the upper Kuskokwim River, which closed down in the 60s. You won't find Nyack on a map. It comes alive in the memories of old-timers like Venus who grew up there. Thanks for tuning in to Coffee at KYUK.